You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Dallas, yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's really hot and it's warm in here. Well, and the ice cream melted very fast.
Yeah.
Very fast.
It's not a live pod unless we check in on your weight. How you doing?
Oh, I'm holding steady. My weight is holding steady. Thank you for asking, Nick. I've lost 75 pounds. And thank you. And I recently went to Ireland and I gained 15 back. And then I've lost about 10 since I've come back. So I'm and then I ate ice cream, so I gained 2 back. And now it's a constant game.
Well, Travis and I are exactly the same. And,
Yay!
We're really happy with it. It's working out great. How was your summer?
It's still going on. And it's here's the problem, Nick. Climate change isn't real. So this is just a normal summer for everybody. It's supposed to be this hot all the time. You're usually supposed to have lightning storms and wildfires at the same time. That's a normal summer activity. So my summer is not the apocalypse. It's just fine.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I kissed a girl, so.
Oh!
Yeah, what's up?
Wow. How you doing? Camp Nick!
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. How about we bring up our first guest?
Wait, hold on. We got to say hi to Travis.
Oh, Travis is here.
Travis, everybody. Travis.
Hey, go Padres! Woo!
We won yesterday.
Yesterday, the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
But we didn't give any. We did not give up a run in the first inning. So today was a.
Wait, is Friar Phil
right?
Here? Is Friar Phil here? Is he here? Where's Phil? Oh no, he's not here. Is he at the Angels game right now?
Oh, okay. He's at a barbecue contest, I think. So.
Well, listen, you can look forward to him on Bennett Woods tomorrow morning. Talking about how you excited for that, Leisure? All right, thumbs up from Leisure.
Well, let's bring on our first guest, the Lord of Podcasts himself, John Gennaro from SB Nation. Yeah, that's it.
Oh my gosh! His wife and daughter are here. You guys are terrible.
They know.
John, did you know that we're funny?
They know that I have a microphone and they don't.
I know. It's the best part. Yeah.
But there was enough of them that had planned that out that I'm legitimately concerned about the safety of myself, my wife, and my daughter.
Well, your daughter's going to have a podcast pretty soon, so I think she's going to be doing better numbers than us.
Every single person here has a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and who has a podcast here? Raise your hand if you have a podcast.
Whoa!
We all should stop. Somebody's flipping me off for no reason. I don't know why you're doing that.
You're not really a true Padres fan unless you have a podcast.
That is true.
It's getting to the point where if you don't have a podcast, I don't trust you as much. But, so how's your summer going, John?
It's fine. I haven't been keeping track of my weight. I wasn't sure that was a thing that I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
good for you.
I'm heavier than I'd like to be. I'd like to look like Dallas.
Oh, that's sweet of you. That's sweet of you.
That's where the compliments end.
Yeah, that's it.
I want you to know. The goatee thing isn't working. We'll just go in on that later.
Goatee? What do you mean? It's just white, John. I have no choice.
Why is the mustache longer than everything else?
Oh, yeah, that's a choice.
We'll get into that later. Let's bring up our second guest. He's the lead beat reporter for the Padres, for the UT, Kevin Acey.
Kevin Acey. There he is.
All right. Welcome, Kevin. Welcome. We like to bring the first year podcasts onto our show to, you know, show them the ropes and introduce them to the right people. So thanks for coming on.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Is he up? Is he good?
Yeah, we got to get the levels right.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I, after you make a podcast elitist joke, his mic doesn't work. That worked out really well.
So how's the first
Sorry,
year?
Sorry, John. We'll get it right. We'll get the quality right.
How's the first year on the beat going?
Fix your mustache.
It's the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. Yeah, cool. Everything about it. Everything.
Do you want to say anything to these people?
Just say it. These assholes. Do you want to say anything to these
Kevin,
assholes?
Kevin, you have a microphone. They don't.
It's your time.
Do it, Kevin. Let's go.
Thanks for reading.
Thanks
for reading.
Does the guy with the Deadpool shirt have a megaphone and is standing outside the brewery yelling?
Jesus.
I'm sorry, Kevin. Now I have to apologize on behalf of San Diego for whatever that is.
Well, let's bring up our third guest. He's a legend of San Diego broadcasting, Lee Hacksaw Hamilton!
Whoa! There it is.
So, hey.
Oh, he's... You know, anytime he wants to get this to work, it'd be fine with me.
Yeah. We chose the band for you. I thought you might be a fan of the band. I don't know. Shot in the dark. But. So how does it feel to be a fourth-time guest of the Kept Faith podcast, Lee?
I've been here before and been on with you guys before. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah.
We didn't say it was any good, but I was on there with them.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. So last night, the Padres released a statue for Trevor Hoffman. What is it? John, you became a Padre fan in 1998. I mean, is this like full circle for you? Is this, how do you feel?
Oh, easy.
What is the crowd is just way too rowdy. I'm excited. I like the statue. I've been saying for years that Trevor Hoffman deserves a statue with his leg up in the air. It's well placed beyond the bullpen. Like, this is one of those things the Padres have done in the last 10 years. And I mean one of the very few things that, like, you literally can't argue against. It was the right thing to do. It's always been the right thing to do.
Yeah. So, Kevin, you were at Cooperstown. What was that like?
Cooperstown is beautiful. And then, of course, Trevor, one of the legitimately great guys. Like, you know, he's a better human than a player, right? Like, what does that really mean, right? But with Trevor, he may be. And so that was great. And this is one of the legitimate things that they've done that everyone should be excited about.
Yeah. What's your memory of Trevor, Lee?
Well, I'll agree with what John said. I think the Padres do a tremendous job of packaging and staging events, whether it's Tony Gwynn's retirement, Hall of Fame ceremonies, what they did with Trevor. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I just wonder why they would not put Trevor's statue out where Tony Gwynn's statue is and make that thing a monument park. I think that'd be a fascinating thing. I mean, what they've done with the Hall of Fame is spectacular, and they've really done a lot to try to reach back to the past of Padre baseball, but I wish that thing was on a monument hill.
Yeah, next up, we can get our Desi Relaford statue at Monument Park, and then Chris Gwynn.
Except that it's the perfect place for it. I mean, right outside of the bullpen. I mean, you should, the relievers, and you don't see professional athletes in awe very often. These guys are in awe of Trevor, and they're in awe of that statue. I don't understand why create another Monument Park, and I think it was perfect.
Yeah, I agree in that every single Padres reliever, you want to look up to Trevor and have his kind of work ethic and his kind of dedication to the craft. So having it, literally the shadow of it, like go over the Padres bullpen, I think is the right place for it.
First time you've agreed with me?
I think one of the coolest things about the Trevor Hoffman story, and Kevin did a lot of background on this too, who he was, where he came from, what he became. And I always joke with him. I run into him over in Del Mar Beach where he has a house. I said, not bad for a 160-pound, 211 hitting shortstop. Because that's what he was when the Reds got rid of him. And he went to Miami. And they didn't have the patience to develop him, and he came here. And just look at what It's a spectacular story. He's not the player and the greatness that Tony Gwynn was in terms of just this God-given ability to hit the ball anywhere. But what Trevor Hoffman accomplished, I think, is just, it's unbelievable. And much like T. Gwynn, Trevor is a really special person to be around.
They should have put the statue in the bullpen, just right there so all the relievers had to look at it. Well, they were pitching. They had to pitch around it.
Touch it before going out.
Yeah, touch it before going out, exactly.
Yeah, hit his heel, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or tap his knee or his thigh and then run out to the mound.
So the two great players in Padres history, the greatest, arguably, have statues. Are we at a checkpoint now where we need to stop going so deep into nostalgia and really start looking at this ownership group and seeing what they're going to do moving forward? I mean, I don't know if I can go through another season where it's going to be like celebrating the 1998 team over and over again. No, it's not. I mean, I love the 98 team. I graduated high school that year. Like, but I'm saying, like, at what point are they using this nostalgia against the fans and kind of manipulating them?
I think you actually nailed it a couple episodes ago where you said, like, this ownership group and Ron Fowler don't deserve to be able to hit the Tony Gwynn button whenever they want. To just be like, oh, there's a bunch of bad news. Let's roll out a nice video package of Tony Gwynn and get all the Padres fans back on our side. Because he didn't play for this ownership group. Like, in reality, if Tony was here and Tony was honest, he would look at this ownership group and say, this is an embarrassment to the team that I played for, the franchise I played for. So I agree with you that, like, yeah, they need to try and build their own history.
But that doesn't mean that they're not. I mean, the fact that everything you guys said, maybe not everything John said, but is right, it is time, doesn't mean that they're not trying to build it, because they are. It may or may not work, but you can't argue that they are trying to build it.
Yeah, are you here as Padres defender? Are you the Padres defender?
It's only surprising it took you this long to actually do that. No, I'm just trying to I'm trying to interject some rationale. I mean, yes, Tony would say that, but so would Andy Green and Ron Fowler. I mean, Tony would also say, just like Trevor Hoffman says, they're doing it the right way. So no, I'm just here to inject a little bit of truth for your bluster. That's all.
All right, so a little bit of levity. I'm way more hot fire saved for Hacksaw than I do for you. Also, I have not been in a room with you since the Mighty 1090.
You're about to say something I agree with you.
No.
Okay. It's almost awkward how attractive he is in person. Am I wrong?
No, I can't be this close to his hair without touching it. It's been really tempting.
Oh, okay.
Which I kept telling you to get a haircut, and I was wrong. You are right. The hair is perfect. No. When the Mighty 1090 told you that they were not renewing your contract, you had about a month left of shows.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you, as someone who worked at the station and who listened to your show every single day, that last month, when the pressure was off, you were fucking great. You were fucking great. And I spent that whole month listening to every minute of your show and saying, I wish Kevin had been this person the whole time.
You know what, me too.
This is so, so great. And I can't wait for you to get another opportunity, because that was what the show should have been.
You know, me too, and I don't know where that came from or why that had to do with what before, but I really appreciate it. Like, I thought
I was trying to take you down.
I honestly didn't think I was very good. Like, it was a tough thing to do, not an excuse at all. I should have been better. But to do two jobs, to do two full-time jobs, it was brutal. I mean, Lee's a guy who's done, like, eight at a time.
Lee and anyone else in radio will tell you that a person starting in radio does not normally get a microphone in 3 hours by themselves.
Right away.
That is how a man like Chris Cantore implodes. You did not implode, but that is the most difficult position that you possibly could have been put into.
And I'm glad that I was. If I get another shot, I don't know. Look, I love what I'm doing. All I ever wanted to do was be a beat writer. Like, I didn't like being a columnist because, like, I don't value my opinion that much to foist it on other people. Like, but I agree with you. I thought the last month was much better.
It was really spectacular. But I never got a chance to tell you that, and I wanted to.
Lee, you had a smooth ride through the.
Yeah, I've been here 30 years doing sports talk radio.
Yeah.
You know, I invented it. Unfortunately, I get blamed for it. But
thank you.
I think, having worked with Kevin briefly when he kind of co-hosted the morning show I did at 1090, and he knows how many different unique and different things I did at the old 690. as a talk show host, and then voice of the Chargers and the Aztecs and USC, and then I went to Seattle and did all that. I think Kevin now has a better appreciation of how hard sports talk radio is when you do it Monday through Friday. I did it for 28 years, 4 hours a day. He has now a much better appreciation because it's not easy. You flip it on in drive time in the afternoon and you hear us, or you hear Scott and BR, or you heard him at 6 o'clock at night, you think it's easy. I tell you what, when you're booking 25 guests a week and you're pounding phone calls and you're putting a lot of topics on the table, it's not a day at the beach.
That point that you just made.
Bitches, come on.
But that point that you just made about booking 25 guests, or like you and I did a show where we tried to be prepared, I mean, it actually is easy for Scott, because to talk out of your ass for 3 hours is extremely easy. And I'm not like, it's not a joke. I mean, he's incredibly talented at it.
I don't know that I would describe it as extremely easy for everybody. It's a
for him. He's incredibly talented at it.
Oh, Scott Kaplan is one of the most talented people of just taking in oxygen and turning it into words.
Exactly.
I
feel really awkward that I was the only one that commented on how good Kevin Acey looks in person. I thought you were going there with me, Gennaro, and then you went off on a different compliment. So anyway, I'm alone now. That's all right. You look great, Kevin.
We could do the whole time on it if you'd like. My wife doesn't say so it's very really, much at all.
It's like John Slattery from Mad Men. You look fantastic.
How right. often do you check in with Anderson Cooper to see if you're winning?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We're only 20 minutes in.
Sorry.
So, well, let's get back to the future of the Padres. I mean, you're around the team every day, Kevin. What do you think about, when do you think we're going to see Urias come up? Give us an answer,
look,
please.
Look. I now think that it might be before El Paso is out of the playoffs, whereas a few days ago I was thinking that it wasn't. Look, there throughout the season there has been, and I don't want to make this like it's a big deal because this is what happens, right? A good personnel department argues, for lack of a better term, right? And there has been, in baseball operations, a difference of opinion of when he should be up. And I think A.J. Preller really believes that he wants Urias to be raking. Like basically foolproof, right? As anybody could be. Well, look at what he's done for the last few weeks, and the guy obviously is stepping it up. I think it could be any day, or it could be right after the playoffs. I really do. But there was a point early in the season where he was this close, but AJ decided not to do it.
You know, when you hit the wrong button, you're going to start a nuclear war with North Korea. So just step back there and just let these hosts do what they have to do.
Feedback, either one. Crazy feedback, too. So.
Typical engineer. He's got to touch every button on the board.
Did you swallow a microphone at some point? Is that why you get feedback when you talk?
No.
Lee also did his own engineering when he did his show, too.
That's right. Hell yeah. But anyhow, you know, I think the big question we're all suffering, and this has really been a miserable summer, in addition to the heat and humidity.
This
has really been a miserable summer of baseball, and it's just going to take time. You know, you go back and look. As the Houston Astros won the World Series last year, you look back to how they got there. They lost 305 games in three summers. That's a lot of bad baseball. Now, they hit the jackpot on a lot of players, the Altuves and the Correas, etc. They also hit the jackpot on some free agents they signed, and they finally got there. The Cubs lost forever and ever and ever, and then they got Chris Bryant, and they traded for Anthony Rizzo, and they hit the jackpot on some Cuban players that have really panned out, instead of Latin American players, but it takes time. So this is only step one of what I think is going to be a couple of really, really tough summers. I'm going to be intrigued, because I've known Ron Fowler a long time, and just like Kevin does, what his patience level is. Because a couple summers ago, he absolutely lost his mind all over the whole James Shields, Matt Kemp, Justin Upton situation.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's had to bite his tongue to see how bad this is as this marches towards maybe a 100-loss season. But they invested a ton. They bought the blueprint. This is the road they're traveling, and you got to hope that within 2 years, if we're sitting here 2 years from tonight drinking beer at Bay City and they are not a wild card team, then I think you have to start holding people accountable. And that, not necessarily the owner, but that would be the baseball ops people. But I will say this. They got a lot of kids at a lot of different levels who've done really well last summer and are now doing well this summer, and they're force-feeding all these young pitchers. And that's why the ERA of the rookie pitchers in the first inning is infinity right now. But you got to walk down the road and give them multiple starts and hope you don't get them hurt. Next spring, they could have 7 or 8 really good young pitchers, but they're not all going to be 20-game winners.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of impatience from the fans. I mean, we can feel it. But, John, you think that they shouldn't bring him up this year, right? That's what
I mean, I think when you have a talent that you fully believe in and you're so close to being able to maximize it with the Super 2, like, bringing him up now and getting an extra month worth of at-bats this year and a month worth of at-bats next year doesn't feel worth it to me when you're not competing for something this year.
Except for that is on, that I think the importance of hitting the ground running, which is, and I don't know what these 4 rookie pitchers are going to be, but I know they'll be better next year for what they went through this year. Jacob Nix will be. And I believe Urias will be up and that he'll be better for having been up.
It all depends on what your expectations are for next season. Like, decisions right now with Urias depend on what your expectations are for next season. I expect they're still going to be well below 500 next year, and therefore my goal is to maximize the amount of time that he can be controlled by the Padres and be cheap for the Padres and all of that. If you expect that they'll be a 500 ball club or better next year, you absolutely call him up now and hit the ground running in the beginning of next season.
You know, if you look at the pitchers, 2 summers ago, I think most everybody was excited about Luis Perdomo. We'd seen a whole bunch of good starts. Last year, the Nelson Lamet shows up, and he had a bunch of good starts. You know, now this year, we're seeing flashes of Lucchesi and flashes of Lauer and what Jacob Nix did. There's hope there. Now, you got to keep him healthy. Perdomo's been hurt twice. Lamet's had the surgery. You got to hope you can stay away from all the bad things that can happen to young arms, and maybe that's monitoring innings and stressful innings and pitch counts and all that. But you got this collection already here. I don't know if Brett Kennedy can pitch at the major league level yet, but he's had more good innings than he's had bad innings in his 3 starts. Still to come Quantrill, still to come Logan Allen. I mean, there is real strength in numbers. I don't know if any of them are going to be Tom Glavine or John Smoltz or Greg Maddux, but I think there's at least hope. All the years I've been here doing sports talk, and Kevin's been here covering it, you know, we always used to try to hang our hat on a prospect. Well, here comes Chase Headley. God, he's done really well in the farm system. Or Austin Hedges. We'd have one name. Or Hunter Renfro. Well, now we probably have 35 really good players at different levels of the farm system. You say, look at that San Antonio team. Look at what's happened in El Paso. What's going down in Fort Wayne. So you can project out and say, maybe there's enough in numbers that we're going to be able to get stars and get real good.
I agree with everything you just said, but more importantly, when is the last time you shaved
Kevin,
your mustache?
Kevin, did you hear that? He agrees with everything I said. Just take note of that.
No, I agree. When's the last time you shaved your mustache? Just off completely.
My mustache looks better than your sorry-ass beard.
Damn.
Hey, he walked into it. He stepped into a pitch.
That's 30-plus years behind a microphone, y'all. Don't worry about it.
Poor John, he walked in there, stepped into the pitch and he got
beat. Okay. I wasn't going to do this. Now I'm going to do this. I want to know, who came up with the name Lee Hacksaw Hamilton? Was it you? Was it someone else? Because it's a fantastic fake name.
It was in Cleveland.
Did you come up with it?
No. A listener gave it to me because when I did sports talk in Cleveland, I was just over the edge of being controversial.
And he said, change your name to Lee Hamilton.
Yep. And I came off the air one night, and a guy said, you're just like a hacksaw. Ask a question, you get an answer that's clear, concise, right to the point, you cut through all the bull. And it kind of followed me from Cleveland to Phoenix and Phoenix to San Diego, and I'm proud of my career.
You should be proud of your career.
Bleeping right, I'm proud of my career.
How much of your career do you think is tied to, like, it's a great name, it's a fantastic name. Lee Hamilton. Where did that come from?
It's always been there. And I did it. I've been Lee Hamilton since I started in radio for the privacy of my family. Let's talk about Padres.
I understand that. I'm not going to reveal your real name or anything to give away any privacy. I just want to know who came up with it. Like, Lee Hamilton is a fantastic name.
His real name is Jamie Rosenstein. That's his real name. We all know.
Dallas, come on. He's got a family.
Sorry.
I wish my name was Lee Hamilton.
Well, cool. Just come
and
up.
Apparently,
come
I up wish I had your mustache because I have a sorry ass beard.
You're right. You agreed. You agreed with me again. Agree with me.
Love it.
There it is.
Let's look forward to 2019. Now, if they're not good next year, and you got you and Kevin and Lee, if that's your real name, no, I'm just kidding. You guys know Ron Fowler really well. When is the tipping point going to be when he gets on the radio and throws a player under the bus again? Because I think everybody in this room is waiting for that. If Eric Hosmer isn't what he's supposed to be, I mean, we've seen this before.
I don't think Ron does that again. As the question about where's the tipping point for him is a very good one, because he does like want to win. Obviously, he gets frustrated. I mean, this is like a self-made man. That was behind the James Shields thing. I mean, truly, I don't think Ron really does understand why these guys make so much money, right? He understands that's what he has to pay him, but
wait,
he's like,
that was behind the James Shields thing?
No, the amount of money that they were paying this guy and some of the...
Performing.
It wasn't performing. And then, you know, obviously James wasn't necessarily what he was cracked up to be in all aspects.
So James tried to be the clubhouse leader. I don't think he tried the right direction, but he tried.
In order to be a leader, you have to be a really authentic guy. And maybe James was not. And
that's fine.
That was played into it. But also played into it is, look, we're paying this guy all this money, and he's supposed to be the entire package. Now, of course, you could say the same thing about Eric, right? Like, I'm going to tell you this. I've covered professional sports, what, since 1997. I have never seen, and by the way, Philip Rivers, a phenomenal human being, maybe the top human being that I've known who is a professional athlete, just maybe in the world that I've known. Philip Rivers, the greatest. I have never seen a person walk into a clubhouse and change a culture and be revered like Eric Hosmer has with the Padres. Now, you can say, well, what results has that shown? And we could all come up with the reasons that they still stink, right? But I'm telling you, Eric Hosmer has lived up to every expectation they've had except for the statistics, which are very, very important. It's 1 year. That's my long way of saying, I don't know what happens if he has another year where he's hitting 250. I don't know what Ron does.
Well, some of it's a byproduct of what is or is not around him in the batting order. And he's not the hitter right now that he was in Kansas City, but then look at the collective team batting average. They're at the bottom of every offensive statistical category mankind has ever known. And until these other guys start to hit and on-base percentage gets better, and they come up with a correct batting order, Hosmer's a $23 million a year singles hitter who occasionally pops home runs and plays a hell of a first base and is a really good guy in the clubhouse because he deals with all those players. He deals with a lot of the young Latin players, and I find that really kind of cool. And a couple years ago, we went through the horrors of that clubhouse when all they had was those individual contractors, Kemp and Upton and Upton and Shields, and those guys, I don't think they cared one iota about that clubhouse or the team. They wanted to go play, and they wanted to be paid on the 1st and 15th of every month. And that was a chemistry experiment that went really, really bad, and the Padres paid very dearly for it because of all the money they had to pay to get other people to take these bad citizens out of here. I was appalled at how bad that clubhouse was. This is a young clubhouse. They do have a couple of leaders. They obviously need more productive players.
So, Kevin, when you talk about covering a team and believing that you see a leader, or you believe that a player has entered the locker room and become a leader, how do you process that? How do you pick up on that? And what does that look like for you? What brings you to the point to believing that?
It's kind of like the way that, more than anything, because there's a lot of ways, obviously what I see with my eyes, right, and the care that he takes talking to young players, the amount of time that he takes, and then my whole job is talking to guys constantly. That's all I do is talk. And what they say about him and the effect that he's had on this part of their game or that part of their game or the leadership role that he takes in running the hitters meetings, I'm telling you, I haven't seen anything like where a group of guys just revere a guy, and it has been that important to him. I will say that's probably an underrated part of Freddie Galvis and his game. The Latin players, I mean, he's like preacher. I mean, they absolutely love him. You know, Freddie is what Freddie is. I don't know if he'll be back or not, but Eric Hosmer will, so we better hope that he can hit.
Can I do some evil math here? What Kevin just said in two separate answers is Eric Hosmer is more revered by his Padre teammates than Philip Rivers was by his Chargers teammates. That's a big story, Kevin.
What?
There is no apples to apples comparison there. To do it as quickly as he did, to come into that room and become the guy, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I just want to ask real quick. I mean, just switching gears, I know you guys cover the Padres mainly, and John, you're kind of all over the place with your current job.
I don't cover anything.
Yeah, but as far as this next phase with the Mission Valley sites, Soccer City, SDSU West, is there anything you guys see that is possibly leaning one way or another? I know we just signed the extension, the city council just signed SDSU's extension, but is there anything you guys see behind the scenes that might give you an edge of what's happening and what might happen?
I didn't hear the whole question.
SDSU or Soccer City?
Yeah, that basically.
About which package is the better one?
Yeah.
I think the details are in the fine print with Soccer City versus San Diego State West. You know, this is such a complex project because they have to negotiate the sale price of the real estate, and I think that's going to be a war. Because I think the city is going to say, we want the value of the real estate when it's developed. That's the price tag we're going to put on it. And I think the developers, be it Soccer City or San Diego State, say no. $6 an acre because it's undeveloped, unused land. So I think there's a huge infight coming as it relates to the actual price of the 79 acres that Soccer City wants to buy, the 166 that San Diego State wants to have access to. You add into that the whole environment thing, which has stopped construction on a ton of projects there. That's a problem. And then if you compare the two different proposals in terms of what they can offer, I personally like Soccer City for a couple of reasons. I like Soccer City because it does get the 35,000 or the 40,000 stadium built. And they're going to give the stadium to San Diego State within 5 years to operate and reap the profits. I like the fact it does take care of some of the things that SDSU West wants, dormitories, faculty offices, research, etc. You got the river plain, but the wild card, the whole thing to me, and again, this comes from my heart because I was a longtime voice of the Chargers, there is the parcel of land that the Stones have made available for an NFL developer to come back in and say, we want that parcel of land, we will fund a stadium, we will build it and get the NFL to move back into this big market. That's the wild card to me that I think people need to pay attention to, is there is the ability to have that parcel of land there to get somebody from the outside, and it's gonna have to be from the outside. I don't know whether it's AEG, the guys that tried to do Farmers Field in LA, I think there are developers out there because I think the city deserves to have a franchise. I like the Soccer City thing. I just don't know that San Diego State has all of its ducks lined up. And I want to know where the money's coming from, and I want to know the developer. And San Diego State has a history of walking around with its hand out. Give me, give me, give me. Do you know that San Diego State never spent a penny on anything at Qualcomm Stadium in terms of infrastructure over the many, many years they played there? So yeah, San Diego State's got ideas, but San Diego State wants. I think Soccer City's willing to do something a little bit better. Kevin shaking his head, I'll let him take the podium.
No, everything that he just said is why my answer is one of the best things about my new job is I haven't thought about Soccer City or SDSU West since spring training started. Yeah, I think my opinion is clear from when my previous life as a columnist,
sure.
But nothing.
We have Lee on the panel right now. Why don't we take some calls?
Take some calls.
If you want to ask a question, come up to Travis and ask a question.
If you'd like to ask a question, there's a microphone available.
Does it work? Yes, it does.
The TKF line is open, y'all. Yeah.
Go ahead, stand up, sound off, make a fool of yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. First time, long time. My question actually is for Kevin Acey. So I'm wondering if you notice a trend, the different writers, Dennis Lynn, AJ Cassavell, they never really get the whole, when they put out their mailbag, they don't get the, why was Mike D fired? They don't get shit on, basically, but you do. I feel like sometimes when you react to people, you come off as a massive condescending dickhead. Like, do you think that that's why you get shit on, and do you have any idea of, like, changing that going forward?
Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Jesus Christ.
No, I'm genuinely curious. Because I feel like if you were a little better in your interactions with these people and like talk to them like humans, it wouldn't be as hard for you on Twitter.
Can I take this question?
No, it's for Kevin.
Do it.
No, I'm gonna interject.
Go ahead.
You compared Kevin and his interactions with Dennis Lynn. In my experience, Dennis doesn't interact that much, if at all. Kevin, it's an addiction. It's a problem that Kevin replies to almost every person who tweets at him, and that's sometimes what gets him in trouble.
I used to. And look, I don't even know how to answer that because you can stand up there and say all those things, and I don't know how to break them all down. In no way would I ever deny that I have been condescending. And it's been doing this a long time, and maybe I misunderstood some things and certainly maybe felt like I knew some things and thought some questions were, you know, off base. And I own that for sure. I don't know that I've been condescending in that way because I came onto this beat like so excited. Like, you guys don't even understand. This is all I ever wanted to do. And I get to cover baseball. And 20 years ago, my wife said, it's baseball or us, because I had little boys. And so I waited till they were older. And I got back into I was so excited. And in no way did I mean to be that guy that you're saying. So I'm a little confused by that. If you're talking about previous times, I don't know what to say. I will say this. In my position, the amount of times that I try to answer back honestly to someone and then they just continue to pile back on me makes it very, very difficult for me. So we can talk about it after if you'd like. I really am sort of taken back by your assessment of me, but
I think it more goes to the, did you read the article? Did you even read the article?
Okay, now here's that deal. Okay, if you think that's condescending, we're probably going to agree to disagree for a long time. I mean,
No, that's one of the examples.
Okay, and we can definitely agree to disagree, but my job is to write articles, and then I tweet something that is, you know, not that I never do tweets that give all the information, but a lot of times if those include a link, it's to get you to read the article. And if someone is responding to the headline or the tweet versus what's in the story, I think I'm going to have a problem with that for the rest of my days. I do.
As someone who used to write articles on the internet, I can tell you the, like, did you even read the article is not a thing that is Kevin Acey trademarked. I used to tweet that at people constantly when they would reply to the headline.
Can I ask this? And I wasn't going to. Is this as cool if I ask a question?
Of course. This is your life, Kevin.
Like, are you one of those guys who had a problem with this is my office?
I love it.
I thought it was... I didn't have a problem with it.
Was that condescending is what I'm asking? Because it feels like a lot of people felt that was condescending.
I thought it was dumb, but I didn't think it was
condescending. That I can respect, that you thought it was dumb. Again, I'll go back to, do you like understand how much I love my job? And that seems to really rub people the wrong way.
No, I mean, I get that. I think it all goes to the, did you read the article, just kind of the general interaction. And I don't have like a whole printout list, but I'm just saying, I follow you, or I used to at least. Okay, I'll bring a list next time.
I've definitely guilty of that. But,
okay.
But
Follow up. You were asked this many times on Twitter, and I'm sorry, I'll open up so anyone else can ask.
Axel would have hung up on you by now.
You were asked, hang on.
Calm down.
Kevin,
calm down.
I must.
Do you guys have no control?
Hang on. Kevin, you're
to be honest, we only have a few minutes left, so we do need to get this pushed along.
All right, I got one more.
I must interject. Kevin has already violated the talk show world. You don't let a caller go on and on and on. You got your chance. It's a question. You made your statement. Good night now.
Okay. So I'll end it on this. Kevin, why was Mike D fired?
I will say this, though.
Why was Mike D fired? The never-ending question. Kevin, do you feel like answering that question?
Wait, Mike D was fired before Kevin was the beat writer. He's got no idea.
I don't know who that was yelled to, but...
I took great care to answer that the best I could.
Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
I have a comment, and then I have a real question. I just want to thank you all for coming up here for the shitstorm you probably knew you were going to encounter. And, you know, reading stuff on Twitter, I feel it can be very misconstrued. So, whether it comes across condescending or not, thank you for being here. My question is, in our system, who is your favorite prospect?
Not the obvious one.
Besides Urias
top three,
or Todd,
right?
Somebody maybe that we've never even talked about, really.
Well, I don't know that I would. I don't want to pretend to be an expert of somebody you've never heard of. But I will tell you how much I am hearing about Hudson Potts, and I hope that's outside the box enough, because there's a lot talked about third base, first of all, right? And there's a lot talked.
That's a condescending answer.
and there's a lot talked about, you know, kind of the holes in his swing, the improvement that he's shown at every level, which is what my understanding is that scouts, personnel people look for. And when I saw this guy in spring training, that might be your third baseman of the future.
The inside the ballpark home run that he got too, we were there for that.
Does anybody?
Hacksaw, do you have a favorite prospect? Favorite prospect?
Favorite Padre, is that what it was?
Prospect.
That's why we're here, wow. Right?
based on what Logan Allen has done in 2.5 years, I really like him and I want to see. Everybody has talked and written about Quantrill, but remember, he's only maybe 1.5 years removed from the surgery, and now we're seeing some flashes of him at El Paso that I think is pretty doggone good. They're taking a huge gamble, though. We've talked about, I did some research, in the last 3 summers, the Padres have signed about 120 prospects, draft picks, internationals, Cuban free agents, 120. I think they've spent about $105 million. But they, because they were over the international signing pool, they had to pay a massive tax on a couple of players that they signed late. They have this young pitcher from Cuba, Adrian Morion. They paid him an unbelievable $11 million bonus, but they also had to pay an $11 million tax. That's a $22 million investment in one pitcher. He's had arm problems 3 times now in a couple of years. They got a young outfielder by the name of Jorge Oda. They paid him $7 million, and they had to pay a $7 million tax on him. That's $14 million. He's kind of stalled in Class A right now. So they've invested well, but they've also gambled, and these gambles better work out. If Morion never gets here or blows his arm out, it's going to be catastrophic to the team. The same thing with some of these other guys.
All right. We got time for about one more question before we got to wrap up. Got one more? One more. There we go.
Just give it up for Brandon, y'all.
This is for Mr. AC here. And first and foremost, I know, of course, a lot of you guys have Twitter, of course, Active Padres Twitter. Of course, there's the photo of AC with his hair, of course, doing the interview with Freddie Galvis in the locker room. So I just like to say I'm a fan of it. I like it, man. So from like one guy with great hair to another. I'm trying to go this out again.
I'm sorry, that wasn't a question.
We will accept it. Hey, and that is great hair.
My question for you, Mr. AC, is when Luis Urias and our Lord and Savior, Fernando Tatis Jr., gets called up, could they potentially become the next great middle infield duo a la Jose Altuve / Carlos Correa?
Sure, they potentially could, right? Okay, the thing about both of them is there's going to be like this learning curve, right? There is, and that's why I support bringing up Urias now. I mean, 2019 is going to be a learning curve, and if at the end of 2019, Tatis is hitting the way that made the improvement arc that he has these last couple years, then I'd be more confident to say, yeah, for sure. I mean, what we saw in spring training, not just the stats, because they struggled big time at times, those two guys definitely have it. So, yes.
I'd love to see Tatis actually go to third base and put Will Myers back in the outfield, and then you've got Will, Margot, Renfro, Jankowski as your top four guys. Who knows if Frenchy Cordero can hit major league pitching with any consistency, but you put Tatis at third, and I'm big in favor of re-signing Freddie Galvis and his Gold Glove at short. Now, the problem is, you know, he's earning 6.3 right now, and he's going to probably want $10 million. So I don't know if the Padres are going to be willing to give him that. But if these guys are for real and if Tatis can play third base immediately, why not?
John, do you have anything about the Tatis series?
I'd like to disagree with everything Saul just said.
Okay.
Will Myers in the outfield is a nightmare that I wake up from screaming. I'm very pleased that he's at third base. I love the idea of Myers at third, Tatis at short, Urias at second, Hosmer at first, and, you know, let's go with Hedges at catcher. I really like that infield. And I really like opening up a spot for Jankowski and keeping a spot open for Renfro and Margot. They're just the opposite of Saul.
Gotcha. Can I say that the greatest takeaway for me of this whole thing is I don't dislike John Gennaro as much as I thought.
All right. Well, Dallas.
Yes,
Kevin. Have you read the article? When you get deeper inside, I'm worse.
Well, I have no doubt.
I don't think there could be a better metaphor for Padres Twitter than this live pod, where they ask a question and then just talk in the background without hearing the answer. I think it's a perfect metaphor. So I'm glad we got to experience that all together. And this will be the last live pod we ever do. So that's fantastic.
Thanks to our guests for coming out. Kevin Acey.
Thank
Acey,
you very much, guys.
John Gennaro.
Hacksaw! John Gennaro! Kevin Acey!
Woo! React to us on Twitter, Kept Faith Podcast, whatever.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Thanks to Bay City. Get
Bay
home
City.
Safe, please.
Tip your bartender. Bye.
The Padres are
Ball Busters!
At the fence, it is going, it is gone.
Drive right center field, way back there. They're near, going, it's gone.
Great play, off balance, throw to first. They got him, the sensational play by Allen Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball, well hit right field, look out. Maldonado at the wall, Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds, and it's...
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego Podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN@VOSD.org.